You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, happy Wednesday. There is so much going on. Braves back in action tonight after scoring a bunch of runs last night, but not being able to finish that thing off, Mike. It turned into a bullpen game, and our bullpen wasn't able to hold up. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley coming up here in about 35 minutes. In less than 20 minutes, we're going to talk about our Hawks, guys, because the draft is Thursday. Our poll is up. Are you okay with the Hawks reshaping this roster and moving on from John Collins and Clint Capela? You can go vote. Just John Collins, just Clint Capela. Neither or both can go. Right now, looking at the votes, and a lot of people have voted, it is both can go, 49%. Mm. Only 17% of the folks who have voted say yes, just John Collins. 22% of the folks who have voted, Mike, say just Clint Capela.
I know that we got to give to get, and I guess some of the folks grasping the fact that you got to move on from some of these dudes. I want DeAndre Ayton. We spoke with Ryan McDonough earlier today. You'll hear what he had to say. We'll give it a soundbite about what he thinks would be the best fit. Some guys like Rudy Gobert, the Hawks, the latest rumors, and you guys have already seen this by now, the Hawks are expected to make a run at P.J. Tucker, who has an opt-out. He signed a two-year deal with the Heat. Gave a big bounce to the Bucks. Gave a big bounce to Miami. Just the kind of dirty work, dirty player, Carl, we could use here on the Hawks.
Well, and a guy named Coach Peacock talks to us in regards to our poll. He was talking about, you remember Cephalosha?
Yeah, Tabo.
Got his leg broke, for those who don't remember.
Won the lawsuit against New York City.
Yes, but he was one of these guys we're talking about. Right. Could play D, scored when you needed him to, was, you know, and I don't want to say a utility knife, but he did some gritty things that you needed, and he was saying, this is the kind of guy that I you know, we
Damari
need that
Carroll.
Type of guy.
Damari Carroll was that guy for us a couple years back.
We need a solo.
I'm with you. We don't have it. We don't have that dude. He doesn't exist on this roster at present. So we'll get into it because, again, more rumors. Tucker is up. That's part of it. Again, that's a small part, but that'd be something we don't have.
All right. Coming up in less than 20 minutes. Now, let's talk about where the Falcons are because Alamide Sakias Mike believes that the Falcons are a playoff team. What? He said this to D. Orlando Ledbetter.
He sure did.
I feel like we're a playoff team. What? Quoted this and said it, Mike. I feel like we're a playoff team. Is Alamide Sakias, is he crazy?
I appreciate his enthusiasm and his excitement level for this team. I don't think we're a playoff team, but I'm not going to debate the man. He's there watching all these guys putting the work in, albeit without pants on.
Now, here's the other part of this. He says we just have to put it together. Really start fast at the beginning of the season and not get in a hole. I just feel like as a team, we can shock a lot of people. Alamide Sakias is talking to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. Now, remember, the Falcons were eliminated not until week 16, the 16th game last year.
Right.
Is this possible?
We got, what, the eighth toughest schedule?
Correct.
Saints, Rams, Seattle, Browns. Don't know who's playing quarterback for Seattle and Cleveland. Defending Super Bowl champions, we know what the Saints are about. They're our rival. Could you go 2-2 in those first four games?
Yes.
Yes, you could.
Yes.
I don't think there's even the most, Falcon hater, the most, angry man out there would say, no. I don't think being a homer is saying you could split the difference on those first quarter. It used to be a first quarter of 17 games, but you get the idea.
I don't think Alamide Sakias is crazy. What I do think is I want to hear more guys say this. Mike, this is how they should be thinking. Again, if you're going to play, play. If you're going to be out there, be out there. I think he's absolutely right. Listen, if we get off to a good start, what makes you think that this could not be a playoff team? Again, last year you're not eliminated until the 16th game of the season when you drop to 7-9. Then you lose the regular season finale against the Saints at home in the 17th week. That's how this thing shook out. So even as bad as things looked, even as Mike, sometimes discombobulated things looked last year, you still were in this until week 16. What makes you think that that won't be the case with what we've talked about? An improved defense, better personnel, more athletic on the defense, bigger wide receivers, a better commitment or more commitment to the run. What makes you think that that won't be the case?
Offensive line still a giant question mark. Got to be worked out. Offensive line, who's playing center? Who's playing guard? Who's playing right tackle? And Matt Ryan's not here anymore. And there's a reason why we got Marcus Mariota at the price we got him, because he has become a journeyman at this stage of his career. I really want to see – you know me, bro. I want Ritter to get that job. But because the quarterback position is still unknown and the offensive line is unknown, that would be what would bring me back to winning six games for this team. I'm not trying to be buddy buzzkill, but that's where I'm at.
Listen, it's fair. All I'm saying is we won seven with that offensive line last year.
I know. But the schedule is a beast. We got a beast of a schedule. Now, again, some teams will be better than expected. Some teams will go the other way. But on paper right now, it's a tougher schedule.
What do you guys think? Alameda Sakia says Falcons a playoff team. I'm not saying it. Mike's not saying it. Alameda did. Quote, I feel like we're a playoff team. What?
Alameda, if you could just win Uncle Mike six games, it'll feel like a playoff win for me.
By the way, what do you got on this?
2,000.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It was a good week. I was playing. I made some. Look,
it's what it is.
I took money. I won at the craps table.
Yeah.
And then I reinvested it in the Falcons' future. A lot of people at the casino were saying, oh, you got to go under. That's a stupid bet.
Yeah.
So, again, everybody told me the Hawks bet was the galactic lock of the century.
Well, it was, Mike. It was.
John Collins. And then now I've been told that this one, the play is the under. If you looked at the schedule, that's why in some books it opened at 4.5, the over-under. It's 5.5.
Yeah. I will say this.
I went over.
I got to be honest about those future bets, because I've done that in the past. And, boy, it's hard to sit there and wait to the end of the season for that thing to pay off. It's a long time. I like the action week to week.
I know.
When that ticket's sitting there and the season starts, you're like, I can't do anything with this until December or January.
The big one that obviously we've mentioned is, if you're new to the show, it's Dukes and Bill, and we put our money where our mouth is. We have season tickets, and we like to gamble from time to time and buy the beer. It helps support these habits. But as far as the Falcons, we were at a Canelo fight, and then we got the odds. They were like 16 or 18 to 1, and we loaded up, and we would have made, again, $18,000, $9,000 each had we held on to win that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I still think about that. A week goes by. Maybe not a day, but a week goes by that will pop into my head.
Are you kidding? I just remember being in the basement, and it's dark, and my daughter going, Dad, are you coming up? And I just sat there. No, I'll be up in a little bit. I was so distraught.
I still can't believe you have anything from Super Bowl 51. I threw it or gave it all away.
No, I gave it all away. It's in a box. It's in a box. I don't look at the box every day. I don't see it. It's out of sight, out of mind kind of deal.
Larry had that hat at Sager's tournament. He was wearing the
Super Bowl 51
hat.
Yeah, but at some point, I'm sure I'll move on from it. But no, I never wore that stuff. I'm just mad at how much money we spent in the store that day. Good.
Cool. I know. We loaded up.
All right, man.
We got to quit this crap.
We do.
I hear your brother.
Dean Pease is right. We've got to get a better attitude, folks.
Hey, again, Alameda is, look, I'm excited that he's excited, and hopefully the rest of this will be contagious. Again, we're turning the page over. I call it a gap year. Next year, I think we get back in business. But one thing you're excited about is Tyler Allgeier. Spoke with D-Led. D-Led's got it in his blog today, which I dropped a couple hours ago. Says, quote, having so much time with football, it is literally my job now. Talking about the transition, Carl, from being a college player at BYU to now it's his job. He goes, I think that's the big adjustment that a lot of people don't understand. Like, now it is your job. It's a different level as far as intensity and work study and everything else that comes with it.
This is going to sound corny because some of you grew up very fast and maybe you had to be an adult at a very young age. For most ball players, everything's been laid out for you. Be here at this time, don't be late. You're eating at this time, don't be late. We got a meeting, we're planes leaving, bus is leaving, be here, don't be late. Mike, you know what happens now? Phone don't ring. If you're late, you're late. You have to be an adult. And I think it sounds like, well, what's the big deal? I've been doing this all my life. But for most of these guys, ever since they can remember playing ball, it's been schedules and things, and this is what, and people are constantly reminding you, Mike, because they want to make sure that you're being taken care of. You get in the NFL, that ain't the case.
Remember when Eli Apple got drafted by the Giants and his mom was going to hang around and oversee everything?
Yeah.
I mean, to your point. I just think, to Carl's point, in the NBA, if you were a kid who played travel ball or maybe AAU, somebody's been doing all that stuff for you, and all of a sudden,
I totally understand.
It's your time.
I totally get where he's coming from. Now, you got guys checking on you. Hey, bro, make sure you're there, whatever. But for the most part, this is your responsibility. And for a lot of guys, Mike, this is the part that, you know, we think is easy. And for a lot of guys, it takes a minute for them to pick up on this. There have been a lot of guys that have been late, don't show up on time, didn't hear what the instructions were or whatever. Now you're in the NFL. You got to man up.
Hey, man, one of the other guys we were interested in, I don't know if you can pencil in a fifth rounder as a starter. we know that guys, obviously, and one of the best fifth rounders to ever dress out for the Falcons is Grady Jarrett.
Yeah.
He sets the tone. But we're talking about a guy that was a Georgia Bulldog, wanted a ring, and that's Justin Schaefer. There was an article on the Falcons website yesterday that was talking about, I think he's what we were looking for. And they basically decided, it kind of does some background story on how they decided to take him in the fifth round. It's a guy that if he could shine, if he could win that left guard position. Now, again, maybe it's a big ask. They're asking Dahlman now to step up. Remember, he was a fifth rounder last year from Stanford.
Yeah.
They're kind of expecting him to compete with Hennessy at center. But wouldn't – I mean, that would be something. If Justin Schaefer could come in and blow doors and win a starting job, that would be fantastic.
No, listen, I think he's got to get some playing time. How much time does he get? That's the question. How much time does he force his way onto the field and get some reps? I don't know. You know, if he's getting snaps, Mike, in the preseason and you're seeing progress, there's a chance that he'll play. This is what I do know about Coach Arthur Smith. He's going to play the best five. Now, they may not be the most talented five. Mm. They may not be the best five in your mind of how what are we doing out there. But he's going to give you the best five guys because that's what he has to do, Mike. There is no favoritism here. We already know Lindstrom can play. He should be out there. We know Jake Matthews can play. He's going to be out there. It's these other slots that we got to figure out, and he's going to give you the best five guys.
Again, guys, the offensive line coach is Dwayne Ledford, and he's quoted in the article talking about you know why they took Schaefer. And one of the things we talked about when he was drafted after the whole weekend wrapped up, Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, going up against those guys each day in practice at Georgia for a couple of years is something that you would think would prepare you for the NFL.
I would hope so. 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can always text the show. Let us know what you're thinking. And a lot of guys hitting us up, Zacchaeus, man. Listen, he's got a right to his opinion. To Mike's point, he's up there. He sees what's going on. Maybe there's a vibe that we don't know about. Have you been up there? I haven't been up there. Have you been up there?
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on.
No.
Maybe Zacchaeus is right, Mike. Maybe this is a playoff.
Right, well, again, then load up because we're 80-1 to win the Super Bowl. Matter of fact, let me check that right now. Hold on. Let me get
Here's the problem. And seriously, I'm looking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See? Have you been up there? No.
So let me get some numbers. People.
Keep going. But, Mike, here's the thing. You don't sneak in the playoffs in the NFC.
No.
Right? You're not going to sneak in.
We're 250-1.
Yeah. You're not going to sneak in. You're going to have to go get this. And that's the part where you go, all right, maybe in a year where the NFC is down, you might feel that way. I don't feel that way. Rams, Cowboys, Bucks in our division. Are the Saints better than us? I mean, we can go down the list. Cowboys.
All right, now for the kids out there, you're out in Vegas.
What?
You place a $100 bet on the Falcons, and you win $25,000.
If what? If
they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
You know, now you're Debbie Dunner. You were buying what Zacchaeus was selling.
Playoffs and Super Bowl are two different things.
Hey, some of the people, right? When I'm working, I'm like,
yeah.
All right.
250-1, man.
All right, you're right. Keep going.
The only odds longer than us are the Texans at 300-1.
Wow. All right, we're coming back. Do we need to rebuild what we've already built? Apparently, that might take place this week. It's Dukes and Bell.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Somebody tell me why. Why not? We're talking about John Collins. We're talking about Clint Capela. I've heard a lot of stuff in regards to John Collins. Can we set the record straight? We think he's a really good player. We think he can help our team if we add to our current team. But if we're going to add another star,
mm-hmm.
he's probably got to be a part of some kind of deal. And so,
he's desirable to other teams.
Absolutely. Right. And when you think about the trade value, start going down our roster and going, we can move him. What's the return on investment? What is the return that you're going to get? So we put a poll up today at Dukes and Bell 929. A lot of folks have already gone and voted, and you can too. And the premise is very simple. Tell me why you're so against this. What is the problem? I'm not understanding if we're trying to improve our team that sometimes, Mike, you've got to move pieces that you thought might work that haven't worked. And when you talk about John, I'm not saying he's the reason why he might get traded. What I'm telling you is his salary and his age are the reasons why he might get traded. It's not anything that John's necessarily not done. Right. He's tried to ball out when given the opportunity. But, Mike, if he's back and we add one of these pieces, I'm going to need John to do more next season.
Right. And, you know, there's other things that are kind of above and beyond this trade rumors conversation, and that's how does Nate use him? Why can't Trey and John do the things that Clint Capela and Trey do? Why can't that be something that they could work on? Why isn't he more involved in the pick and roll? I mean, things. I mean, there's just things about like the open jump shots, which kind of, you know.
I got to be honest, it kind of wears on me sometimes. I want to see more. I want to see more 3-point attempts.
But anyway, John is a guy who, to me, Carl, at 6'9", in the playoffs, he plays small.
Okay.
Not now. I know guys are going to say, well, he did a hell of a job against this. Yes, I know he had big moments against the Sixers. There's also moments like Al Horford. To me, it's one game good, one game he's a non-factor. And that's not good enough for me if we're going to take the next step with this team.
All right, so the poll, both can go, is one of the choices. 50% of the people who have voted, Mike, say both can go. So to me, this is the thing. As we continue to transform this team, sometimes you think, all right, things are going to work. Maybe 2 years ago, the core of what we thought we had was going to be the long-term answer. It's not. Cam Reddish is not here. I don't know if DeAndre Hunter is going to be here if we end up getting, Mike, a Rudy Gobert or an Ayton, because I don't know how you're paying Trey, that guy,
you can't.
And Hunter. I don't know how you're doing that. With that said, the nucleus of this team is going to change. And so as we get to the draft on Thursday night, whether we keep the 16th overall pick or not, or, Mike, whether we do something before or after free agency, and again, this doesn't have to happen now. But I just don't understand why so many people are like, this is the wrong move. This is going to come back to bite us. No. John's not the guy you should be trading. Well, who are you trading to get value for?
Look, guys, we barely made the playoffs this year. We barely made the playoffs, and John got hurt, and he couldn't contribute. And then I told guys, well, you know, he was hurt. Yeah, I mean, you're on the floor. I expect you to do something, okay? If you're good enough to dress, and this has gone on for time immemorial in the NBA, you've got to contribute. John is too inconsistent in the big moments for me. And we paid him part of the process. It's a great pick at 19. He's developed into a star. But is he a superstar? He's not a superstar. To me, he's Al Horford 2.0. And the reason I use that is I see similarities. The same conversation we had about Al Horford, Carl, we seem to have about John Collins. But Al Horford at least could take it occasionally into the paint. I know he's considered more of a jump shooter and the big man that can pop and move out. John, to me, I don't feel it the way other fans do. I don't find him as like an immovable object. He's going to be the cornerstone. Because this year he was on this team, and again, 54 games were played. Mm. The year before was 63 games. You know, he doesn't play a full season. He has little nagging injuries. I'm not bitching about the suspension back in the day. It is what it is.
Right.
But I can't hold on to him the way some people can. You just laid it out. If you want a star, a superstar, you got to trade John Collins.
My question to Hawks fans are we a championship team as constructed? Chris, I'm looking you in the face right now. Are we a championship team as constructed?
Not even close.
Bo Morgan, are we a championship team as constructed right now?
Yeah, that's a no.
Then you got to do something. And here's the thing. This is what the hard part is. It's Dukes and Bell. Trey and Kevin Huerter are 23. Collins is 24 years old. DeAndre Hunter is 24. Okongwu's 21. When you talk about making changes when guys have still so much in front of them, it becomes difficult. Because if you do give up on Collins and say, well, you know what? All right, we got to go get something else. We got to get better defensively. We got to get a defensive presence. And you give up on him at 24. What is he at 28 when guys really come into their prime? We forget. Mike didn't win a first championship.
No.
8 years into the league. It takes time. So that is the issue, Mike, that I think a lot of people have when we say, hey, he's going to be a part of some deal if they make a deal. Here's my other thing. If we keep him and you add DeAndre Ayton, Mike, now we're doing something.
Right. And again, we still need the worker bees, and a lot of guys have said the name P.J. Tucker. That's in the latest rumor that dropped this afternoon you guys have seen. Yeah, we need that too, guys. I need a guard who can move and shoot so Trey can move without the ball, right? I need some of that. I need a lot. I mean, the thing is, can we get all the things that we think we need here? First things first, the superstar that everybody wants, I would say number one would be DeAndre Ayton. Rudy Gobert just doesn't seem to move the meter because a lot of people also say, for what you're paying him, that's too much.
Too much.
And then you can't get all the other things that we just talked about that we do need on this team. And the Eastern Conference is a beast, as Ryan McDonough told us.
All right.
Obviously, he's high-end DeAndre Ayton. He drafted him with the Phoenix Suns.
Well, and he's turned into a heck of a player, man. I mean,
but imagine the game. Trey and him would be so dynamic.
Yeah.
And the open looks that you could argue, guys got to collapse inside. Something's going to pop, and then boom, we're in business.
I like Ayton because he can guard the bigs out on the perimeter. And that's something that I sometimes question Gobert. He gets exposed in those situations. Now, I know I'm going in the weeds here, but I'm just telling you, if you're talking about guys attacking the basket, Gobert is a beast. That's why he's Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to rim protector.
Right.
Mike, if I get you in a pick and roll out there and it's Luka and somebody else, I'm just saying, is Gobert able to stay with those guys? That's what I'm asking you. I know DeAndre Ayton can do that. He's much more flexible when you talk about
you know, rotations and defensively. So that's why I like the DeAndre Ayton situation a lot better than Gobert. But, hey, who knows who they're sold on and who they may go after. But the fact is this roster, guys, more than likely is going to change.
And I know I'm not changing the discussion or the argument, but the other thing it comes down to is Nate going to coach better this year? I don't think Nate did a really particularly good job at times last year. I think, you know, as we said, Carl, Trey comes down.
Yeah.
Pick and roll is not there. And then it's sometimes if there's no ball movement, doom, it's ISO Trey throwing up a three.
Jack it up.
You know, I mean, when we're good, like any NBA team, like Golden State was, like, you know, like the Mavericks are when they're cooking. A lot of passes before everyone. Not like Hoosiers. I need five
passes.
But I just think sometimes this offense gets so stagnant in the half court.
I do too. And Mike, I think it's a fair question. I don't think, listen, nobody is outside of criticism when we're trying to make our team better. Nobody. So we got a new general manager, right? Landry Fields, he's got to do a job. Thursday night, he's got to do the job in free agency. We'll see what deals he can put together. We've got a coach that we believe in because Nate took over a team that was floundering and then took us to the Eastern Conference Finals. But you got to evolve. And that's what we're talking about. All right, 404-741-0929. I got to talk about one other thing. I just posted this and put him up, Steve Dukes. Chris sent me a picture. I think it's a fake. I do not believe that Zion is this cut, okay? I think this is Photoshop.
Is this up on your Twitter?
It is. It put him up, C. Dukes. Zion, the caption is, Zion used all the noise, Mike, as motivation to get into the best shape of his life.
Wait, hold on. Is that airbrushed?
The league is in trouble next season. This don't even look like Zion.
Okay, I believe they Photoshopped Zion's face. He looks like an X-Man.
Dude.
You know what it looks like?
I'm telling you.
It looks like those stupid, dopey FX cartoons that they do on Fox. You know they're like the you know the face? They do it on NASCAR now, too, even for the driver's faces. It's like, what is that? That's what it looks like.
Mike, that's not Zion. Look at this guy's arms.
All right. I mean, he looks cut. Now, okay. Now, we were joking around because you said you had this picture. There was a guy that used to call into our show, and we would talk about Julio's injuries, and it was a guy that goes, you know the problem with Julio Jones? Like, what's that, sir? He's just too muscular. He's too damn dense muscular-wise, and that's why he's breaking down. He needs to be leaning a little more limber.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, anyway, if Zion needed to drop weight, and that photo is – I mean, look, even if it is a legitimate photo.
Photoshop.
It has been touched up a lot.
Touched up? How about made up?
I mean – the picture where he's got his eyes closed, like he's doing stepping on a box or whatever he's doing there.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
because they got a picture of him probably when his eyes were closed, and they put his head on somebody else's body. That's not him.
That's not legitimate.
Chris, I'm sorry. That's not him.
I mean, it's like they got
Zion's never been in this kind of shape in his life.
You know what it looks like? The way they lighted the shot. It looks like Annie Leibovitz took this photo. You know what I mean? Like it's for the ESPN The Bodies edition. You know, I'm not buying this.
But there's another one that I sent. I sent all you guys.
What is it?
Of him playing hoops with a bunch of school kids, and he also looks ripped in this picture.
Oh, so he beating up on kids now, huh?
He's in shape.
That's where Zion is. Zion, you know, going to courts with kids.
He looks like Sean Weatherspoon in this photo, the former Falcons linebacker.
Oh, is that the photo?
Yeah, yeah.
You notice how Zion's bigger than everybody else on the court, Mike? Right,
by the way, we talked yesterday at this segment about guys having hype men. Does Zion now have a baby oil man? Because apparently wherever Zion goes, he's glistening. Got to show his vascularity. I mean, from hey, to now all of a sudden, now what is he? He's getting ready to get in the octagon? What is this crap?
I'm telling you, the way your oil's glistening off of your man, body.
That's T, man. That's my baby oil, man. Give me some baby oil. Okay, man.
Oh, 30-10 next season, boys. Let's go.
He does look a little
And by the way, we have not even talked about Zion for 2 months about trade rumors. I don't want him because he doesn't come with a money-back guarantee.
Go see the picture. Put him up, C. Dukes. You tell me. Photoshop. All right, coming up, guys, we'll talk to Grant McCauley. Braves back in action.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Tonight, Stukes and Bell.
Around the yard with your World Series champion Atlanta Braves.
Yes! World champions!
On Dukes at Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, let's talk about our Bravos. Back at it tonight against the Giants. Game 3 of this 4-game set. Tomorrow they'll finish with a business person special. Grant McCauley, our Braves reporter, here to talk with us about what happened last night and to look ahead. And Grant, last night, Strider, let's start there because I liked everything I heard from Spencer Strider, even though he struggled. 3 2/3, he gave up a bunch of runs. He did not look like the Strider we had seen in his previous starts. But he talked about the fact that he said he didn't feel like he was going to be great before the game. I thought that was interesting. He said he just didn't kind of feel right that he had his best stuff last night.
Yeah, and I think that was pretty apparent when he came out in the first inning. And, yeah, he was still hitting 98, but we didn't see that 99, 100, or 101-mile-an-hour fastball. I don't feel like his secondary stuff was as crisp as he would have liked so that he could compensate for that, and it probably didn't help that the strike zone seemed to be a little bit narrow for him in those first couple of innings as well. So you add all that stuff up, you know, and when you go out there, when you go into anything in life and you just don't feel like you're at the peak optimum level, I mean, I've done some reports like this where I feel sometimes that way, but when you go out there and you got to compete with other athletes, I mean, it's going to be difficult when you don't feel like you have that mental edge that comes with knowing you feel your absolute best. So that's part for a young pitcher and somebody who's finding his way and establishing himself as a big league starter. You're going to have these games. And I think that if you look at another guy in rotation who's done a really good job of dealing with not having a pitch or two pitches that's working or not having the command or what he needs, and that's Kyle Wright. And it took some lumps for Kyle Wright to get to the point where he is now. And I'm not saying it'll take Spencer Strider 4 years to figure it out, but I am saying that this is part of the learning process. And the fact that he's aware of that, cognizant of what he can take from it and ready to move it forward into the next start, that has me encouraged that he's continuing to be on the right track, even if the results are not always there every fifth day.
I really like what I heard. I'm with you. I think he's got I call it swagger, but it's as I think Dansby said a few weeks ago, it's a mature type of swagger, and he's very analytical. Yeah. He's a sharp guy. All right, so once he got knocked out of the box and the Braves obviously came rallying back, we'll talk about the home runs in a second. Boy, was that the B team of middle relief? Because McHugh is certainly better out in Colorado.
No, and that's the thing I think that you end up with in games where you can't get your starter at least through five is you do have to kind of patchwork it in the middle. And, you know, Dylan Lee has shown me a ton this year, and I know that we're talking about your sixth, seventh reliever at this point, or maybe even your eighth reliever in some cases because he just hasn't been able to prove it yet. But I've loved every opportunity he's gotten to go out there and put up zeros for the Braves, and he's done a really nice job at that. And in fact, I was a little surprised he got pulled out of the game there in the sixth inning, and then Darren O'Day came in. He got beat a couple of times by the shift. And then, as you mentioned, Colin McHugh, it's just been a couple of rough ones since he came off the COVID IL, and he was very good in Tampa Bay, and he's a guy that it's not stuff for him. It's location, and it's just having the arsenal that keeps hitters perpetually off balance. But he just hasn't been one step ahead this year. It seems like the hitters might have an extra step on him quite a few times this year, and you know, we'll see if he's able to work it out, because that was an important piece the Braves added to their bullpen so that they'd have that pad in the middle of that game so that you're not thinking about, okay, it's the seventh inning, we got to get AJ Minter up now and that kind of thing. And Tyler Matzek, you know, that's another guy that, you know, he's not available right now. They hope to have him back soon. He's eyeing a rehab assignment very soon, but you're having to mix and match and change things in a way that, you know, it's sometimes some nights it's going to be your day, and others it's just not going to go according to plan.
all these home runs, Grant. I mean, Riley's got 18, Ozuna 13, Darno has 10. We got four last night, and we lose. But the good news is we're hitting a lot of home runs right now. We're, what, second in the league? We lead the NL in home runs?
Yeah, I mean, this is a club that has been slugging all year long. And if you've been looking for something to get maybe a little bit more excited about from the home run department, Matt Olson, multi-homer game last night, his first one with the Braves, six runs knocked in. He had that three-double game up in Chicago. The extra base hits have been there for him. Just the majority of them have been the two-baggers. But now I think that as he's made adjustments with his swing and getting his launch angle in a little bit more of an optimum position, we're going to see Matt Olson start to have some games like this. And I've talked to a couple of people from, you know, his time out in Oakland that said, hey, don't let Matt Olson get hot, because if you do, he could carry this club for a month or two. I don't think that anybody minds that if you're talking about the Braves side of things, but for opposing pitchers, when Matt Olson gets going, he's a force to be reckoned with. We got a little sneak peek of that at the start of the year, but I think we're all excited to get a sneak peek of that, plus the premium power that he brings, and I think that that is something that's coming along here as the weather heats up.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, our baseball expert. Get ready for the Giants. Game three of this four-game series, and then tomorrow will be a businessman special. Charlie Morton, hopefully we'll get good Charlie tonight. He looked great in Chicago last outing. Mets, by the way, lose last night, and they lose today. So that was good. They got smoked by the Astros. They lost 5-3, so a chance to pick up a full game today if we can get it done, if Charlie can do it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the opportunity you want, because the Mets are going to have to face some of these clubs as well. The Houston Astros are clearly a team that eyes the postseason every year. They're leading the American League West, and they handle their business against the New York Mets. And the Braves right now have to match up with a tough club from the National League West and the San Francisco Giants and secure no worse than a series split with a win today. And hopefully Charlie's up to the task and just building off of really the last couple of starts for him. There's been way more good than bad. After he gave up a couple of home runs against Pittsburgh, he settled in. He struck out 12 batters. Then he followed it up with a really sparkling outing against the Cubs, his best one all season. This is going to be a little bit different lineup. We saw what they can do last night, and it's not always the bigger names. It's not always going to be the Brandon Belts or Brandon Crawfords or Evan Longorias that you know are, you know, really experienced big league players. It was a ninth place hitter in Austin Wins last night that really hurt the Braves with that three-run homer off Strider in a four RBI game. So you're just going to have to approach them as a dangerous lineup, 1-9, and I think that Charlie Morton, you know, dealing the way he has the last couple of starts, is in a good place to continue that, and the Braves very much need that because they want to make sure that they no worse than split this four-game set with a tough team like the Giants.
Grant McCauley, our Braves reporter, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, getting ready for another matchup tonight. Grant, the Braves are 0-26, trailing after seven innings, and Mike and I were looking at this. I think that number jumped out at us, and we were both surprised. Is it accurate? Mm-hmm. And more importantly, what is the deal there? Because I would have never thought that we're 0-26 trailing after seven innings.
Well, I guess when you look at it, obviously the stat baked in right there is if you're trailing. The Braves have been, I think, tied in some games and been able to take the lead, and they have some walk-off wins and some extra innings victories as well. So it might be a little bit deceiving, but yeah, that doesn't sound like the club that we've seen the last 4 years that leads the National League, if not all of baseball, in comeback victories and seems to be comfortable. Now, you don't want to be trailing the seventh inning or later, but they seem to be comfortable. If they're within striking distance, if they can continue to grind away, put up those good at-bats, run into a home run or two, and find a way to win a baseball game. So that's, I think, a stat that's much more indicative of the way the club has played, or the way the club played over the first couple of months. Because as we turn the calendar to the month of June, quite honestly, the Braves are not trailing very often after seven innings, so they haven't had to worry about that too much. So there's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B in that one, but I would expect that that trend, Carl, will begin to change as this Braves club that feels much different than it did this time 3 weeks ago continues to work its way through the month of June and through the summer and hopefully continue the climb in the National League East standings.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, breaking down the Bravos, taking out the Giants. As we said, the Mets did lose today, so that's great news. This team, aside from that stat, which was mind-blowing, they hadn't lost a game where they scored double digits since 2018, so that's certainly something. I just thought it was kind of it was entertaining as heck. Ultimately, it was frustrating, but you mentioned, you know, Olson, Acuna with that bomb, by the way. That thing was, talk about a shot. So we've got the power numbers. Everything seems like it's on track and coming together. So, I mean, all the doom and gloom, which was just, 4 weeks ago, right? You believe we're out of the woods, and now this team is on track.
I think this club is playing much more up to its capabilities. And, yeah, I understand what part of the schedule they were in where they were playing a bunch of clubs that don't have winning records. But if you're a good club, you beat those teams, and you beat them soundly, and you beat them often. And the Braves did all of those things. So I think this feels a lot more like a club that can build a lot of confidence and really start to come together and be a much more cohesive group. And, oh, by the way, when they do start to get some of these guys back that they've been missing, whether it's Eddie Rosario, who's, you know, close to a rehab assignment, is going to be reevaluated and get his vision checked tomorrow, and if everything's good to go, you could have Eddie back soon. You could have Tyler Matzik back sort of, you know, kind of soon. And Mike Soroka's out there, and then we haven't even seen Kirby Yates, who's a former All-Star closer with the Padres, who the Braves signed in the offseason, who's waiting in the second half as well. So you get this current group rolling, and then you start to supplement with guys who could come back in and make a difference. We haven't even talked about the trade deadline and the moves that we know Alex Anthopoulos could make. This is a club that is in the right place and going the right direction, I think, at the right time, much earlier than they were a year ago. So if you take heart of anything, you know, just notice the Braves seem to be trending in the right direction, and some things are starting to click many, many, many more nights than not.
Grant, great job as always. We'll be watching tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow about where this thing is. Hopefully we're talking about winning a series tomorrow in a business person special over at Truist Park. Thanks so much.
Yeah, look forward to it as always. Thanks, guys.
Cool beans. Yeah, I mean, you know, we were singing Snickers praises. I think this is the first time this year, Carl, we can say, you know, we kind of let one get away. Dylan Lee would probably have been the guy to stay with. He does like Darren O'Day, and you and I were talking earlier.
Yes.
Darren O'Day was just so eminently hittable last night. It was frustrating to watch, you know. Some sidearm stuff just coming up there. Here it is, like a beach ball. But, all right, so Snicker can't win them all. Next time around, when the guys get the mojo back, keep Dylan Lee in the game.
I know, man. Let's hope Charlie does what Charlie did in his last start coming up tonight. Hey, we've got more to get to. And speaking of entitlement, Mike and I got into a conversation here in the break about something we want to discuss with you guys coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, you'll hear from Ryan McDonough, who talked about what the Hawks could do in the upcoming draft on Thursday night. Top 3 at 6 is on the way as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.